Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
In this episode of the Football History Headlines on the Best of the Pigskin Dispatch, we discuss a pass and a catch of a touchdown by the same player in a game and some fantastic and controversial championship games of the NFL, as well as many more Hall of Fame legendary stories and birthdays, all coming up in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history, and we welcome you to another edition of the Best of the Pigskin Dispatch, and we are going to go into one of the great days of when the playoffs were in early January for the NFL, and I'm talking like the championship playoffs were in early January. As we know now, we're not even starting the playoffs in the era we're in now, but these great football history headlines will take you back to about 40 years ago with some great plays that I think many of us remember well. And today's date and topic is January 6th, the events in football history, the football history headlines. We'll start off January 6th, 1980 at Three River Stadium in Pittsburgh. The AFC Championship game to determine who would win the Lamar Hunt Trophy and represent the American Football Conference in Super Bowl 14. Two of the old AFC Central foes met for the third time that season, the Oilers of Houston and the defending champs, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Late in the third quarter of this game is one of the most controversial officiating calls in NFL history. With the Oilers deep inside Pittsburgh territory, Dan Pastorini dropped back and tossed a pass towards the back right corner of the end zone. Houston receiver Mike Renfro seemingly came down with an amazing catch with Steelers corner Ron Johnson in tight coverage on him to tie the game. But the official on e-coverage did not call anything, and the crew got together in a huddle to discuss the play. A few moments later, they deemed it to be an incomplete pass, as when Renfro finally secured the ball, he had fallen out of bounds. This was 6 years before instant replay was used in NFL officiating, and it may be the very play that was the root of the replay's adoption in the league. The Oilers were forced to kick a field goal, and for the second straight year, the Pittsburgh Steelers beat the Houston Oilers 27-13 to advance to the big game. And who did the Steelers meet? Well, let's talk about that game. It's that same day in Tampa Stadium. The NFC Championship game was hosted by the Buccaneers, who were only in their fourth season of existence. The Bucs played tough, but the Los Angeles Rams came to town on a mission, and they defeated Tampa Bay 9-0 for the right to face the Steelers in the Super Bowl 14. January 6, 1985, Miami's Orange Bowl. The AFC Championship game was that Dan Marino-led Dolphins outscoring the Pittsburgh Steelers 45-28 to move on to the big game that year. Their NFC foes was played at Candlestick Park in San Francisco. The NFC Championship game was played in the San Francisco 49ers with Joe Montana under center advanced to the Super Bowl as they blanked the Chicago Bears 23-0. January 6, 2014. The Rose Bowl, Pasadena, California. The BCS National Championship was a memorable one, as number 1 Florida State would have a tough test against number 2 Auburn per ESPN.com. This was a matchup for the ages, as Heisman Trophy winner quarterback Jameis Winston, Kelvin Benjamin, and Devontae Freeman were on the Seminoles team. It's high-powered offense, and they faced the Tigers that sported Sammy Coates, Dee Ford, Carl Lawson, and C.J. Uzma. As often happens in these great games, it came down to the final seconds of play. With 13 seconds remaining, Winston threw a 2-yard touchdown pass to Kelvin Benjamin to lift FSU to a 34-31 win and the national title. Now let's rewind back a couple years ago to January 6, 2018, in one of the oddest plays in football history in the playoffs. The Tennessee Titans quarterback Marcus Mariota scores a touchdown that he threw to himself. In one of the craziest play sequences, the Titans had the ball at the Kansas City 6-yard line, facing a third and goal per the Ringer.com website. Mariota dropped back and scrambled around a bit, and then saw daylight left. As he approached the line of scrimmage, he launched a pass towards the end zone, but a defender, KC's Darrell Revis, batted the ball, which went back to Marcus, and he caught it and then dove for the pylon for the touchdown. It was important, too, as it aided in the 22-21 victory over Kansas City in that wildcard round of the playoffs. Mariota was the second NFL quarterback in history to have done that feat. The other was the Minnesota Vikings quarterback Brad Johnson in 1997, who also caught his own pass on a third and goal and scored against the Panthers. It just so happens that same day of January 6, 2018, the Oakland Raiders formally announced that John Gruden would be returning to become their head coach, per ESPN.com. It had been nearly a decade since Gruden's first stint as a Raiders head job as coach, as from 2009 through the 2017 season, he was broadcasting on ESPN's Monday Night Football, and what a job he did there. Now let's take a quick break from our headlines, and let me remind you, you can learn more about gridiron history on our website, pigskindispatch.com, and you can contact me, Darren Hayes, at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Speaking of hearing from someone who's here, is one of my podcasting partners from the sportshistorynetwork.com that has a message just for you.
He was known as the Bronze Bullet, tied the world record in the 45 and 60-yard dashes, and while he stood just 5'4", he tied the legendary Red Grange for most touchdowns in the Big Ten in a season with 10, and went on to score 45 more in the pros. Join me, Warren Rogan, and football historian Andy Piasek as we take a look back at the phenomenal career of Buddy Young on Sports Forgotten Heroes.
There's nothing better to be remembered in life, and what time to be remembered than on your birthday? And that's what we're going to do with our Hall of Fame legends for today. On January 6, 1913, the guard from Princeton University, John Jack Weller, was born. Jack received All-America honors in 1935, according to his bio on the NFF website. He was a top lineman on that Tiger teams and suffered only one loss in three seasons of his collegiate career, and now is to rival Yale, who won 7-0. The College Football Hall of Fame placed Jack Weller into their House of Collegiate Legends in 1957. January 6, 1947, Clarksburg, West Virginia. Frank Lurie, Virginia Tech's fine defensive back, celebrated his day of birth. According to the NFF, Frank was a 3-year starter for the Hokies and was a 2-time All-American. VT retired Lurie's jersey number 10 as he was well known for his great defensive play as well as his punt return abilities. Frank averaged 13 yards per return and even took 4 of them back for touchdowns in his college career. The National Football Foundation honored Frank Lurie posthumously with an entrance into the College Football Hall of Fame in the year 1999. Our next birthday celebration takes us out to the west coast of the United States, and that happened on January 6, 1956 in Portland, Oregon. The prolific tight end from the University of Notre Dame, Ken McAfee, arrived into this life. Ken had some very good traits as a tight end, according to the footballfoundation.org website. He was a dominant blocker and also had a great set of hands to catch passes with. Ken was an All-American selection 3 times. He added the academic All-America title to his resume in 1977, as he also won the Walter Camp Player of the Year Award and was 3rd in the Heisman Trophy vote. That year, he caught 54 passes for 797 yards and 6 touchdowns. It's no wonder that the Fighting Irish also won a national championship that season. The National Football Foundation honored Ken McAfee with entrance into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1997. Next is a real well-known in the football circles, and January 6, 1960, Somerville, Massachusetts. Howie Long, the 4-year letterman from Villanova, was born. According to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, Howie was a 1981 second-round draft pick of the Oakland Raiders. He spent 13 seasons with the club and registered 84 sacks. You could probably add another 7.5 sacks to that total because, in his rookie season, sacks were not an official statistic of the NFL. Long was an All-Pro in three different seasons and was selected to play in eight Pro Bowls. During the festivities in Canton in 2000, Howie Long was enshrined in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. January 6, 1964, in Gladys, Virginia, the outstanding defensive end from James Madison University, Charles Haley, was born. Charles still has the record for being the leading tackler in James Madison's football history, as he gained All-American status twice while at the school, according to the National Football Foundation's website. In fact, Haley was the first player to gain the honor of being called an All-American at the school. Charles completed his collegiate career with 506 tackles, 3 interceptions, and 17 quarterback sacks. The NFL voters happily checked with boxes for Charles Bailey to gain entry into the College Football Hall of Fame in the year 2011. The San Francisco 49ers got quite a steal when they laid claim to Haley in the fourth round of the 1986 NFL Draft. Haley spent 12 seasons in the NFL with the Niners and the Dallas Cowboys, and he was the first player from James Madison to be drafted in the NFL, and also holds the distinction to be the first NFL player to win 5 Super Bowls. Charles Haley was enshrined in the Pro Football Hall of Fame in the year 2015. You'll want to make sure you join us back tomorrow for January 7th's football history headlines. And just a sneak peek, we're going to talk about the All-America team of Walter Camp and a little game that they used to call the NFL Playoff Bowl or the Runner-Up Bowl. We'll talk about these things tomorrow on your football history headlines. So to make sure you get in all the action as soon as it's released, hit the subscribe button that's on your podcast player. Or if you want to, make sure when you get up in the morning, check us out at pigskindispatch.com and read the article and check the podcast there. Or you can see the podcast also at the sportshistorynetwork.com, where you can see this podcast and many other great sports history podcasts from very good hosts and great guests on some excellent sports history topics. So make sure you check one of those out, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
It was just another ordinary day in the offices of the Pittsburgh Guardian newspaper circa 1924. But for Marla Delft, assistant editor, everything was about to change. For she was about to discover the awesome attractiveness of Row One brand retro sports paraphernalia items, thanks to Orville Mulligan, sports writer.
And there it is.
Wow, Orville, that's really the bee's knees.
Isn't it just? A poster-sized replica of the actual 1909 World Series program cover.
I can see that. But where did you get it? And where'd you get it framed?
I ordered it from the Row One website, where over 6,000 items of sports memorabilia from the 1880s to the 1990s are available for reproduction in multiple sizes and in several different materials, with over a dozen styles of frame to choose from for prints like this.
Well, I'm sure Mr. Delft would love to put up more of these in the office. But I'm equally as sure they're beyond this newspaper's budget.
Not at all, my dear Marla. See for yourself. Go to sportshistorynetwork.com/row1.
sportshistorynetwork.com/row1. Oh my, these are good prices. Oh, and look at this stuff. Oklahoma-Nebraska football, college basketball art, Michael Jordan items.
And so it was that Marla Delft discovered the splendiferous magic of Row One sports memorabilia arts and prints. You can, too, by visiting sportshistorynetwork.com/row1. That's ROW number 1 today for access to the full Row One catalog of gallery prints and gifts like t-shirts, long-sleeve shirts, telephone cases, coffee mugs, blankets, pillows, towels, and even shower curtains. pack today for a 15% discount off all prints with coupon code SHN15 and 20% off all other items with coupon code SHN20 at checkout. And keep your dial locked to the Sports History Network for the exciting chronicles of the 1920 sports world in Orville Mulligan, sports writer, coming soon.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that, Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts. It's found right here on the Sports History Network.